Upcoming message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. We started this service with a few questions that came out of Isaiah chapter 40. You know, who can compare themselves to the Lord? Who is like Him? I want to start the message out with a couple of questions as well. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says this: who can know the Lord's thoughts? And then here's a second question: who knows enough to teach Him? You know, we've got some gifted people here that have been in the Word of God and studied the Word of God for many years, and they know quite a bit, and they're teaching classes now, and that's why they're teaching, and we sit under them that we might learn and that we might grow. But none of these, me included, none of us know enough to teach the Lord, right? So who can know the Lord's thoughts, and who knows enough to teach Him? And this quote is from Isaiah 40, where we read at the beginning of the service. So Paul is quoting Isaiah. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just read verse 16. I'm going to give you several other verses out of chapter 2. And this is pretty much this morning going to be more Bible study, and it has been for the last two or three times that I've preached. So we're going to do that again this morning. But something about the Corinthian letter, the letter to the Corinthian church. In most of Paul's epistles, he wrote most of the epistles, when he writes to the church, in Galatians, Colossians, Philippi, whenever he writes to these churches, in most cases, he is commending them, he's confirming their faith, commending their faithfulness, applauding them and saying, well done, I'm going to see you soon, and things like that. But this letter to the Corinthian church is different. This letter to the Corinthian church is a letter of correction. A lot of you have written letters, and usually when you write a letter or send a letter, it's positive, right? Has anybody done like this Corinthian letter and just sent a letter of rebuke or correction? That's what's going on here in this Corinthian letter. Paul is dealing with divisions. He said, I'm going to get there soon, but right now, know this. And he's rebuking them and correcting them on the divisions. They're abusing the Lord's Supper, what we call communion. There's drunkenness going on at the Lord's Supper. There's disregard for spiritual authority. There's chaos in the church. There's gross immorality. Sexual sins are running rampant, not in the culture, outside the church, but within the church. The Corinthian church has a lot of issues. And so Paul is writing this letter of correction. So we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But let me grab one more verse out of Isaiah, chapter 55, two verses, verse 8 and 9. And remember the question that Paul posed: who can know the Lord's thoughts? Well, Isaiah says it this way, talking about the Lord. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Three simple points this morning, and the first one I'm going to give it to you right now is simply this: God's thoughts are above my thoughts. And I'm just going to go ahead and take liberty and say it this way: God's thoughts are also above your thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's thoughts are better than our thoughts. God's thoughts are wiser than our thoughts. He has a better perspective than we have. God thinks at another level. God thinks at a higher level. His ways are not our ways. You know, part of our purpose statement is to live life the way God intends for us to live life. Amen. Live life as God intends. If you're going to live life the way that God intends, we're going to have to learn about His ways, and His ways are where? Up here. They're higher than our ways. We're going to have to tap into His way of thinking. His thoughts are where? Up here, higher than ours. So with that in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says this: eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you love God this morning? All right, then it's saying here that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you, for me, for those that love him. And Paul, again, is quoting from Isaiah. This time he's quoting Isaiah chapter 64. Paul, when he preached a lot, he would refer to the Old Testament and quote that. And this verse here probably is probably familiar to you. And those in my Wednesday night class probably know where I'm going for just a little bit. But this verse right here, this is what I call the funeral verse. This is the funeral verse. And you're going, oh, yeah, that's right. That's where I've heard that. And doesn't it make sense? Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Talking about heaven, paradise, the promised land, the here and by, just our eternity, right? And I do think there is truth in that, that we can't really imagine how good or how grand heaven is. Hopefully, I hope the Lord will give me liberty to do this, but I want to do the heaven series. It's been about 7 years since we did that, and I want to go back and revisit that. It's very exciting, and we can learn a little bit more about heaven. There is more to know about heaven than we know. It is more than streets of gold, gates of pearl, and Peter standing at the gate with a book letting people in. All right? It's more than naked angels on clouds playing harps. We got all these ideas from Hallmark greeting cards. It's a shame that our presentation of heaven has been so cheap. Because most people would rather go to Hawaii than go to heaven. That's because we haven't presented it well. Preview of the upcoming series. Heaven is better than Hawaii. This verse isn't talking anything about heaven. We just did a series in our Wednesday night class, and we called it Keep Reading. And a lot of times, if you'll just keep reading, you'll find out what that verse is talking about. There's a verse in the Gospel of John. It says, lift Jesus higher, because if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Y'all remember the song, Lift Jesus Higher? Kind of an upbeat clap song, happy song about lifting Jesus higher. I exalt Jesus. I lift him up. I lift him up. We lift him up so that he'll draw all men. How many of y'all have ever been at work and lifted Jesus up? Did it draw all men to you? Probably did not. If you'll just keep reading and read the very next verse, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from this earth, I will draw all men unto me. Very next verse says, he spoke this concerning his death. The crucifixion. He was lifted up on a cross. So we've been singing, kill Jesus. Just keep reading. We're very verse-oriented in America. And we need to be more passage-oriented. I can't begin to tell you. We covered many of them, and we should have been there on Wednesday night. We covered many of them, verses that we take out of context and misapply and misquote. Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth. This is another one. I don't think we do great damage applying this to heaven, but it's not talking about heaven. Let's just keep reading. Let's look at verse 10 with it. So start at verse 9 again. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The very next word, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So it's not that we don't know. We do know. We just don't know through the eyes. And we don't know through the ears. And we don't know from another man. We know through the Spirit. The Spirit of God revealed. So you didn't hear it, you didn't see it, but it was revealed to you. What was revealed? Well, it says here that God, the Spirit, searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So God reveals things. God is a revealer. God lets you in on things. God reveals himself in different ways. He reveals truth as we grow in him. Verse 12, I'm going to put it on the screen right now. It says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We have the Spirit of God. When you give your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And when you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, verse 12 says that he helps you to know the things that have been freely given to you by God. When Peter said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus looked at him and said, blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't give you the answer, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. I don't know the song, but I've heard of the song. I think y'all quit singing it by the time I got here, but The world didn't give it to me. What's the rest? See, you know it. The world can't take it away. What I know when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the eternal God, the thing that I know, the reality of God, wasn't given to me by flesh and blood. It was, I can't really explain it, but it was dropped into my spirit. It'd be like trying to explain how a banana tastes. I just can't put it into words. But once you've tasted it, you'll know. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So it's been almost 38 years, and I still can't dismiss the reality of God. Now, I could choose to walk away from Him, but I would be miserable. It wouldn't be as fun as it used to be when I was living without Him, because now I've got knowledge that makes me uncomfortable, because I know. So Peter knew, and God said, Jesus said, you're blessed because of that. Listen, there's a verse also in Corinthians, and it says that the devil blinds the minds of the unbeliever. The enemy blinds the minds of the unbeliever, but he also incapacitates the believer. And it's all based on what we know and what we don't know, what we believe to be true, the lies that we've bought, the truth that we haven't grown into. There are strongholds that we need to tear down. There is truth that we need to grab hold of. As we know the truth, it makes us free. Gospel of John says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And a lot of people said, truth sets you free. It's not the truth that sets you free. It's the truth you know that sets you free. It's the knowledge of truth that sets you free. So we have to grow in the knowledge of God. We have to grow in the things of God, and the Spirit of God is inside of us to help us do that. We have to grow. God reveals truth to us. And more truth we have, the less incapacitated we are as a believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's look at this verse. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now remember the question he posed at the beginning. Who can know the thoughts of God? And then in this verse, it says we know our own thoughts because we have our own spirit. But it says that no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So there's the answer. Who can know the thoughts of God? Only the Spirit of God can know the thoughts of God. So nobody knows the thoughts of another person, with the exception of wives and their husbands. That living together as one sometimes seems to bleed over, and they say, I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. Yeah, you did. So we can't, I don't know Paul's thoughts. For Paul might be thinking right now, hurry up, man, I'm hungry, let's go to lunch. I don't know. Are you thinking that, Paul?
But now he is.
I have put a thought in his head. You can know how a person thinks after you've lived with them for a while. I know how you think, but you can't know what they think. Only my spirit knows my thoughts. My spirit knows my thoughts. Teresa's spirit knows her thoughts. Paul's spirit knows his thoughts. And God's spirit knows God's thoughts. I don't know the thoughts of you all in here. And I don't want to. Listen, when I was a young boy, I wasted a lot of time watching Gilligan's Island. It came on at 4 o'clock. I've seen every episode a few times. How many of y'all, Gilligan's Island? Yeah. Y'all remember the one, you know where I'm going? They ate some food and they knew each other's thoughts. It did not turn out well. You do not want to know what people are thinking. Now, they may be thinking something good, yes, but not all the time. And you're going to eventually grab hold of a thought from them that you don't like. God has been very wise and not allowing us to know each other's thoughts. Because on the inside, you may be thinking, you're an idiot. But on the outside, you'll smile and go, love you, Pastor. And I'm going to go with the outside. So, we only know our own thoughts. I can't know yours. You can't know mine. My spirit, who I am, has access to my thoughts. Your spirit, who you are, has access to your thoughts. And God's spirit has access to his thoughts. Now, here's the exception, obviously. God is all-knowing. I can't know yours, you can't know mine, but God knows all thoughts. So if you're thinking that I'm an idiot, God knows that you're thinking that. Yeah. And he will get you. Because he loves me. If you're thinking I can't wait to go to lunch and quit preaching, God knows what you're thinking. And he just probably just dropped it in my spirit to go a little longer. So God knows all thoughts. Now here's another thing. You can choose what to think about. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said, think on these things. And then he listed a bunch of things, like 7 or 8 things to think about. But he says it in such a way as you have the option of thinking about this or not. You have the power of choice when it comes to thoughts. It's not always easy to get your mind off of something. But according to Paul, you can choose what you think about. You can go to the past and think about what's already happened. I can ask you, what did you have for lunch yesterday? And you can recall, and you might remember, you might not. But a lot of you, you'll figure it out. You know what? We had grilled cheese sandwiches yesterday for lunch. I got to quit talking about food. Paul can't wait to get out of here now. Isn't that amazing? The power of thought. That I can say, what were you doing last year? Who was your best friend in high school? Where's your favorite vacation? Describe that place to me. And you can, in your mind, go back. I mean, on a computer, if you want to go back, you hit keys, right? That's how it works. You hit keys, and you go back. You hit delete and whatever, and you can go forward and backwards because you got keystrokes. But what is it about the mind? I mentioned Hawaii earlier. We got to go to Hawaii one time. I can think of things right now that they're in there. If you were to cut my brain open, I don't know that you'd find them. But they're in there. Thought is an amazing thing. And we have this ability to think. You can go back and think about what's already happened. You can look ahead and start thinking about what's going to happen. What are you going to do this afternoon? What are you going to do later? What are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing this week? I've got this going on Tuesday night. I'm going to have lunch here with this person on Wednesday. So you can think ahead. And then, for men, there is this gift to think about nothing. I don't know that women can do it. We are different. Despite what culture says, we're different. And one of the things that men can do that women can't do is we can think about nothing. So, wife, when you look to your husband, you say, what are you thinking about? And he goes, nothing. Could be the truth. Not only can we do it, we like to do it. It's relaxing. Need to rest the brain, right? So think on these things. Place your affection and your thoughts in the right place is what Paul told us to do. And then Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How you think has much to do with how you live. Think wrong, live wrong. Think right, live right. This is why you got to renew your mind and learn to think the way God thinks. Your thinking is down here. God's thinking is up here. His thoughts are higher. Your ways are down here. His ways are up here. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I know I've already read this verse, but in this translation, instead of the word thoughts, it uses the word things. The things of man, the thoughts of man, the things of God, the thoughts of God. God wants you to know his thoughts, and God also wants you to know the things that he has for you, and God wants you to know how he thinks about you. God wants you to know his thoughts about your situation. This is going to fall in place a little bit better here in just a minute. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 up on the screen. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. I read that earlier, but it's on the screen for you now. Now, back up with me a little bit. Who knows my thoughts? My spirit. Who knows her thoughts? Her spirit. Who knows God's thought? God's spirit. But know this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but what? The spirit which is from God. The spirit from God is the one who knows the thoughts of God. then we have received that Spirit at salvation. Did that click for you a little bit? What I'm telling you is that when God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, the translation is not this: I'm so much better than you, you cannot even begin to understand anything about me. There may be some truth to that, but what the translation is, my thoughts are so much better and higher and wiser than yours, I need you to tap into the spirit of mind that I have put inside you so you can have access to my thoughts that I'm thinking about you. All right, did you get that? So my spirit knows my thoughts. God's spirit knows God's thoughts. But I am saved, and God's Spirit has come to live in with me. And now that His Spirit lives in me, I have access through my spirit to my thoughts, and I have access through His Spirit to His thoughts. It doesn't change the truth that His thoughts are higher than mine. His thoughts, for the most part, are contained in the book we call the Bible. But He'll also reveal thoughts to you during prayer. During intimate moments, during worship, God will let you know His way of thinking about a situation. My thoughts are this. Somebody hits me in the cheek, my thoughts are hit them in their cheek. His thoughts, which are higher than mine, are somebody hits you in the cheek, turn the other cheek. Didn't you mean turn his cheek? See, his thoughts are different than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours, but we have access to his thoughts. Point number two, God's thoughts are available to me. When you receive God's Spirit, you have access to his thoughts. Now, I want to go back to the initial text, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? Let me answer the second question first. Nobody knows enough to teach him. But let's look at the first question. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? You might say, well, no one. Well, I've just told you, no one until his spirit takes up residence in you. His spirit has access to his thoughts, and his spirit lives inside of you. But let's just keep reading. So that was 1 Corinthians 2:16. Let's put the rest of the verse up there. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But, there it is again, that word. You should never stop reading your Bible before the word but. We understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. For those of you that have to have a title, the title of the message is Mind of Christ. So when you read this in context, it's like, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Obviously, the world cannot, but we have the mind of Christ. We have God's Spirit, which has availability and access to God's thoughts. We have something they don't have. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. You have something they don't have, and it's been revealed to you. We have the mind of Christ. You know where my thoughts are contained? In my mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have his thoughts available as well. Listen, if you had my body, no comments, please. If you had my body, you would know the aches and pains that I have, because my body carries certain aches and pains. A few, not a bunch. How many out there has got some aches and pains? Look at all the hands. Tony's got aches and pains. I have no idea what they are. And I don't need to know. But the reason I don't know what they are is because I'm not in his body. And that's a good thing. But Tony knows his aches and pains because he has his body. I know my aches and pains because I have my body. If you had my mind, you would know my thoughts. Be glad that's not there too. If I had your mind, I'd know your thoughts. But I have my mind. It holds my thoughts. But I also have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ holds his thoughts. So we have the mind of Christ. We have availability to the thoughts of Christ, his perspective, his way of seeing things. You have access, but you have to make the effort. Some of you have a boat, but you don't use it. Some of you might have a timeshare, but you don't use it. Or maybe you have a vacation house and you don't use it. I've got a harmonica. I don't use it. Just because you have availability, you have access to your boat, you have access to your timeshare, you have access to the thoughts of God, you have access to the mind of Christ, but you've got to use it. It's up to you to use these things. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Let me give you another one out of Corinthians, put it on the screen for you. I'm going to give you this third and final point. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. I'm going to tell you what this is saying, and it's going to sound a little haughty, but take it for what it is. Notice it talks about the natural man versus one who is spiritual. There's the natural man, the unregenerated, the one who's not surrendered his life to Christ. This natural man, says here, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He does not have access to the thoughts of God. That's why the people you work with, that's why some of those that you run with, that's why some of maybe in your family doesn't get it, doesn't understand when you talk to them about spiritual things, they don't get it. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that perish, but to those that have believed, it is the power of God. That's what the Bible says. And so the natural man does not have access to the thoughts of God because they don't have the Spirit of God. They have access to their thoughts. You, the spiritual born-again person, have access to your thoughts and to God's thoughts. You have a little bit of a bonus. But let me give you the point, the third point. God's thoughts may, I should have put the word will, conflict with mine. All depends on if you're walking in the Spirit and if you're following after Jesus. But there are going to be conflict. See, God's thoughts will conflict with natural man. You know that, right? God's way of doing life, God's way of thinking will conflict with natural man. Natural man says that this is okay, and this is normal, and this is natural. God's thoughts says this is perversion, and this is abomination, and this is not natural. God has a way of thinking, and man, natural man in the culture has a way of thinking, and there's going to be conflict. Proverbs tells us there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Something may seem right, doesn't make it right. So we don't lean into our own understanding. In other words, I have access to my thoughts. I have access to his thoughts. If I'm walking in the Spirit, his thoughts are going to be glorious and wonderful to me, and I'm going to live them. But whenever I'm not quite living it and I'm not quite doing it right, my thoughts are going to conflict with his thoughts, and my thoughts are going to seem right, but they're not right. And I'm going to have to lean not to my own understanding, my own thoughts, but I'm going to have to trust him with his thoughts. It was the beginning of last year, the first message that I preached in 2019. I shared with you three concerns that I have for the coming year. The year has already come and gone. Those three concerns are still valid and are still concerns of mine. The third one was this: a growing disregard for the Word of God as truth within the church. A growing disregard for God's word as truth within the church. It doesn't matter out there. They already think you're an idiot. They already don't understand why you believe what you believe. There's already conflict because the natural man doesn't receive the things of God. But the growing concern of mine is a disregard within the body of Christ. Just 2 weeks ago now, this is the first one that I'm aware of, an Assembly of God church in North Texas has pulled out of the Assemblies of God because they have decided to embrace the LGBTQ community. And so they have pulled out of the Assembly. So that's the first Assembly of God church I am aware of that has done that. I expect more to follow suit. I'm not here to judge and throw stones. I'm just here to tell you that third point, God's thoughts will conflict with you at times. And there's going to be, it's just like, God, that just doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, look at everybody. Look at the culture. This is the way things are going. And God's thoughts are just right there, higher than yours. Your thoughts are here. His thoughts are here. Once you receive the Spirit of God, you have access to the higher level thinking. But the problem is following it. Can you live this up here? There was a group that in John chapter 6 that turned and left Jesus. They left because Jesus said some hard things. And Jesus said, are you going to leave too? And they said, you have the words of life and truth. And they stayed. Some are going to leave and some are going to stay. His thoughts don't change.
Amen.
I wish they did at times. I really do. It'd just be easier, right? We, as believers, have access to the culture's thoughts, and we have access to God's thoughts. The culture has access to their thoughts only. This is where they think, down here in the dirt. That's all they know. There is a way of man that seems right, and that's what they follow. They lean into their own understanding, and that's what they do. The Bible says that every man is right in his own eyes. They all think they're right. You have access to that way of thinking, but you also have access to a higher level of thinking. But it becomes your choice whether or not you're going to put on the mind of Christ.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.